board, I feel that there is that indifference or disagreement within the whole structure of COMAC with respect to this particular price floor. And that is why two things here. Star Oil has suspended its participation of this particular welfare organization. And two, some OMCs have decided to sell below the price floor. It means that not all OMCs are in agreement with what COMAC is pushing or supporting MP. And I think COMAC should rather have a collective policy base with respect to this particular price floor.
You don't think that Gabo Kumi speaks on behalf of the OMCs when he says they've given their strong backing or strong support for the policy?
I think I disagree with him because evidence out there shows that not all the OMCs support this particular policy regulation by the MPA because Star Oil has suspended its membership of this organization. Goodness, Frontier, and others are also selling below the floor price. So it means that not all of them are in agreement. So to say that there was a unanimous decision by the board is not in the interest of members or all members of the COMAC. And for that matter, I think I disagree entirely with my brother here. Now, too.
Well, we can't dispute that. That is his word against ours. So we'll just take it as he says.
Now, the other part I think I want to bring into this conversation is that COMAC is an organization that protects the interests of sellers or retailers in our petroleum downstream. And for that matter, COMAC will support any policy that ensures that their prices are quite higher because a price floor in this economic theory sense is a price that is above the equilibrium price. And any price that is set above the equilibrium price benefits the sellers more than the buyers. And for that matter, if COMAC comes to say that they support it, or Senior Kumi comes to say he supports it, he's supporting it because it is going to benefit the industry and not consumers. And that is why I think that the MPA and COMAC themselves should engage the CSOs and other consumer advocacy groups so that we bring finality to this particular conversation, because most of the arguments that they've churned out or they've brought out respect or in supporting of this price floor do not stand. One day earlier introduced that the price floor was to curb some undercutting irregularity or illegal practices within the petroleum downstream. They've never given us any evidence of undercutting illegal practices of any kind for us to know that yes, there's data to support what their argument or what their position has been. So they built it based on assumption. The second argument they make from MP is that there's also predatory pricing. This is a myth. There's nothing like predatory pricing in the petroleum downstream because any OMC that engages in predatory pricing will collapse in the next 2 years. The argument is that predatory pricing takes into consideration uncertainty in the future. Predatory pricing because there could be energy transition. And if many vehicles begin to go e-mobile or electric vehicles, or vehicle users begin to buy electric vehicles, it means that in future, anyone that engages by selling cheaper today to think of taking advantage in future may fall out of the market. So it doesn't hold. Now, two, before you even bring in predatory pricing, there must be evidence. There must be known knowledge indicating that there are some OMCs engaged in this practice. As we speak, MP has not given us this particular job. So I think the assumption should have been an aggressive competition in the industry. And it's so because the aggressive competition because, one, most of these well-established OMCs are within Central Business District. I always argue that if you take the whole of Accra, the larger Accra, most of the new entrants or most of the OMCs, the Star Oil, the Zen Petroleum, the Benam and others are within the periphery. They are not in Central Business District of Accra. Most of them, you take, most of them are around Medina, most of them are around La Paz or going to Ofanko areas, most of them are around Spintex. But if you take Central Accra, you wouldn't find any of these new entrants. So they use price to attract customers to their retail outlets. And when price becomes cheaper, the vehicle or the consumer now trade off. Looking at the cost-benefit analysis, we'll say, okay, if Star Oil is cheaper at the periphery, it's good I travel to Star Oil at the periphery to procure fuel from Star Oil because at the end of the day, I'll get value for money. Mm. And that is why these companies are using price to attract. But if you bridge the gap using a price floor, it means that people will not waste their time, travel to the periphery to procure fuel. They'll buy from the central business district, thereby collapsing Star Oil and Coal. That is one argument. The second argument also has to...
No, just finish on that thought.
Okay, the second argument also has to do with people, one of the arguments is that we are protecting smaller companies. I think that NPA makes this argument without looking at their own data. These are two smaller companies in the industry, EV Oil. Its share of the market is less than 0.02%, its share of the market. There's another company called True Green Petroleum. Its share of the market is less than 0.01%. These companies are selling their product around 9 Ghana cedis, 99 pesos, and 9 Ghana cedis, it is 10 pesos for petrol, per liter for petrol. So if these smaller companies are being price competitive, it means that they are doing well, they are transferring efficiency, and you are not protecting them. You are rather taking them out of business if you force them to price similar to how much oil Total and Shell are pricing, because these companies have goodwill. They are within central business districts and have vehicular population that come to procure from them. And I think smaller companies are using price competition to also penetrate into the market. We must allow them.
All right. And so you don't exactly buy the idea that this policy is needed for industry stability and, if you like, checking on issues of quality. But as it appears, the chamber says we give a full backing to it. It appears it's going to be here for a while. What are the implications for consumers in the long term at the pumps and when it comes to price stability?
So this is going to create a producer surplus. The producer is going to benefit. Comac is going to benefit. Consumer welfare is going to worsen because some of the companies may want to discount their product because they get discount from importers or BDCs, and they may want to transfer this particular discount to end users. But Comac is saying that no, NPA is saying that we will not allow you to transfer this discount. So consumers are going to suffer. I think consumers are going to suffer by about 10 to 20 pesos per liter, because some of the companies would have decreased their prices by about 10 pesos. And if consumer is saving 10 pesos per liter, imagine how much they will save a month to a year. So consumer welfare is going to reduce as a result of imposition of this price floor. I believe that we don't need it because the market itself sets its prices. Market sets price based on the location of the retail outlets, based on the supply demand forces, based on the goodwill or the brand itself. So the market has been setting price. We should not allow any imposition, because introducing any price floor in the industry means that we are going back to regulation. And if you go back to regulation, it's going to stifle out smaller competitors out of the market than even your projection of being protecting smaller competitors, because the smaller competitors are rather giving us favorable pricing compared to the bigger OMCs. And I think Comac may support, but as a consumer of petroleum products, I don't think I support Comac, because Comac is just pushing their interest of benefiting from petroleum end users.
All right, my last question will be on Comac and its exit for on Star Oil and its exit from Comac. What do you think are the potential implications of this? And would the return, like we heard from Gabriel Kumi, would the return of Star Oil to Comac bring about some industry cohesion or in coordination within the oil marketing industry?
This is not the first time that OMCs have suspended their membership from Association of Oil Marketing Companies, or Comac. I think in 2024, well, this same, because of these same issues of price floor, well, exited from it, but I think now they are back. So Star Oil will be back. I believe that Comac should have a collective position on this particular subject and not maybe tag along the position of NPA because of their mentality of return on investment or maybe profitability. I also think that Star Oil should also relax its position on this particular matter and accept a discount policy on this particular floor price. I think earlier, under the previous regime, there was a discount policy. There could be a floor price of 9 Ghana cedis, 80 pesos, but NPA allowed a discount of about 5% or 5 pesos or 10 pesos. So NPA should allow this particular discount so that others that want to sell below the floor price will be allowed to do that in certain areas, especially closer to central business district, so that it can also attract vehicular traffic to their retail outlets. I believe in consensus, and I think in that Starwell should suspend his decision of revoking his membership and join COMAC. It's a well established institution, and as the account say, Banu Suemia, when you come together, you are able to push your interest than being alone. So I think that Starwell should reconsider his decision and join COMAC. And COMAC must also be seen as an organization that serves the interests of all members and all, not only few of their members. I think if the industry members or OMCs begin to realize that COMAC is only pushing the interests of multinational companies and oil, this company may not sustain the next 2 or 3 years.
And I guess the debate will still go on. I'll try to find some consensus on this matter. Thank you so much, Benjamin Nse, Executive Director of the Center for Environmental Management and Sustainable Energy. I appreciate your time on the Marketplace. We're taking a short break. We will be back with Show Business. And thanks for staying with us, everyone. Today on Show Business, we turn our attention to the business of entertainment, an industry that generates growing revenue across Ghana and Africa. But behind the glamour lies a persistent problem: weak contracts and limited access to legal protection. Joining me is culture journalist and creative economy analyst Kenneth Ojedako to help us unpack why contracts and lawyers are no longer optional in the entertainment space. Good to have you in the studio. We are talking legal stuff today. So we hear about contract disputes in the music and film industry almost every year.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we should prepare for some as we head into the year. Why is this conversation very relevant today?
It's very relevant, especially now, because, I mean, we are just some weeks into 2026, but we have enough legal battles
Tell
in the
me about
space
it.
To last us the entire year. Because we've had, I mean, just this week, we had the issue with Kwesi Arthur. We know what is happening with the Lumba estate as well, and some other issues around the space. So it is very important that we have some of these conversations to ensure that the creatives in that space are very abreast of, I mean, what they need to do in terms of these, I mean, global shifts that's happening. Because we know that there is a gradual shift in the way art is being consumed globally. So far, we know that there are more licensing deals that are coming up. There are different record labels that are moving from the West into Africa to, I mean, tap into the art that is being created here. And so some of these things come with a lot of conversation around contracts, agreements with different sectors. And so in order to ensure that artists and the management around these activities are streamlined to ensure that there are no disputes, it is important that we have conversations like this to ensure that they are in safer spaces.
I mean, how about concerns from some creatives that lawyers are too expensive and they're only needed when there is a problem? How do you respond to that?
So it is this kind of thinking that actually makes this conversation important, because most of the time legal representatives are supposed to be preventive. They should help prevent disputes and, I mean, misunderstanding from happening. And so if you are able to involve some of these persons in the early stages of your agreements or you're going into contracts, you're able to involve them around this period, it's even much cheaper to be able to afford to do these things around this time. And it's better than leaving it to chance.
I
and
don't
then
know about afford.
I mean,
because most of them can't, can they?
Exactly, because if you get into a space where so much money has been made, and so everyone is now looking at benefiting from that big pie, it becomes a harsher legal battle because there's money involved, there's so much money involved, people are willing to invest so much to be able to get what they think is a fair share to them. And so at that stage, it becomes very difficult to afford lawyers because you're also looking at your financial capacity to go into that battle. And so if you want to prevent some of these things in the long term, when you're setting up, it's easier to, I mean, contact some of these legal representatives for assistance before it gets too late. Because, I mean, there's that conversation that lawyers are expensive, and so it's harder to get them. But we all have persons in the spaces. There are relationships that can be created with some of these individuals. They are also human. They understand, if they really understand the situation that you're going through, there may be a way to meet each other halfway to ensure that everyone is catered for.
Well, I hope that is the case. Work is work. Anyway, so let's talk about some of the legal mistakes Ghana's creatives make. As we talk about the weeks ahead, I mean, these are some of the things you should be watching out for.
Exactly. So for the issues that have come up over the past few weeks, we have realized that the vagueness of, for instance, an exit clause for some of these creatives is becoming a big problem, because once you sign on to some of these licenses and these label record label agreements, and you have, for instance, you have different interests now, it becomes very difficult to get out of it. And that is where some of these conversations start that we are seeing over the past few weeks. And so if there is more clarity about some of these exit clauses, I mean, the terms and conditions around which these agreements are prepared, and the involvement of lawyers at the very beginning, because if they are not involved, trust me, it's going to be very difficult to resolve at the end. And so having lawyers at the very beginning of the conversation, and also making sure that the clauses around these agreements favor both parties. I mean, for institutions like record labels, they are interested in making the profits off of the investment that they have done into you. And also the artist also wants to have the maximum benefit. And so we need some of these things to be streamlined to ensure that.
What needs to change to build a sustainable entertainment industry, do you think?
For now, as far as revenue and collection is involved, I mean, in the context of some of these events in the past few days, it is very important that even as much as we have copyright laws, there is that conversation that the structures are not robust enough to ensure that some of these payments go through the channels that they are supposed to go through. And so it actually compounds the situation that we are seeing now, where we have legal battles when it comes to who is supposed to get what and how is supposed to get to those spaces. And so we need stronger institutions to be able to cater for the interests of both record labels, artists, and everyone that's, you know, involved in the creation space, and also the involvement of lawyers. And we have to need to encourage more lawyers also to take up the entertainment space as a very good avenue for serving the society at large as well.
All right, somebody's got his legal cap on.
We are not, we are trying to.
Hopefully soon, Kenneth Auchidako Esquire. That's the marketplace, everybody. Thanks for watching. Money is on our website, myjoyonline.com/business. My name is Daryl Kwao. The day's latest story is over there. Y'all took it off. That's fine. My Joy Online. We'll be back same time next week.